Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Caught between a great ocean and a vast wilderness. It was home to an incredible people with a revolutionary idea that they could rule themselves, that they could chart their own destiny, and that together they could light up the entire world.
Hi, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thank you for joining me tonight. Well, the United States Catholic Bishops issued a document which really should be of concern for all Christians, indeed for all patriots. And I want to walk you through some of the things they said, because it's been a topic of great discussion across the body of Christ. And that is, what do we do about these pro-abortion politicians like Joe Biden, who are claiming to be Catholics, others, of course, pro-abortion, or claiming to be Christians of other denominations? How are we supposed to handle this? How are we supposed to respond to this? And I want to show you what the Catholic bishops have said, and we can draw some good discussion from this. Meanwhile, please know that we want to pray for you during these programs. As we read the Word of God, as we turn to the Father of Mercies, we want to lift you up and your families. So leave in the comments ways that we can pray for you. And we'll do that, not only during this program, but throughout the year. We at Priests for Life are committed to praying for you. And one of these programs are just one of the ways that we do that together. So let's turn to the Word of God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 21, we read these words. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court with him. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. Let us pray. Lord, you have taught us that the first and greatest commandment, to love you with all our heart, is like the second, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Your Apostle John has written to us in his first letter that if anyone has enough of this world's goods but fails to help a brother in need, your love cannot survive in that person. You have taught us, Lord, that we cannot love the God we do not see unless we love the brother we do see. And therefore, we have this teaching in the Sermon on the Mount that anyone seeking to worship God, anyone coming to the altar to offer sacrifice, anyone participating in the worship of the church must be reconciled with their brothers and sisters. Lord, in our prayers tonight, we recognize that there is an entire segment of people with whom many are not reconciled, and that is their brothers and sisters yet in the womb. Because there are many people, Lord God, who regard these people, these vulnerable children, as not being people at all, as not being humans at all, as not even having the basic right to life. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for that blindness and for that level of just dismissal of human beings, throwing away of human beings. Lord God, we pray that our public officials and that all our fellow citizens and that all our fellow believers will be reconciled with these children. They have something against us if we do not even recognize them as persons. May we be reconciled with them by recognizing them as persons, by regarding and safeguarding their right to life, and by never speaking about them in any other way than with the highest regard and respect as our brothers and sisters, never dismissing or reducing them to property, blobs of tissue, parasites, or a clump of cells, or a non-person. These children in the womb are children. Lord God, help all to recognize that and to respect it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, you see the application that I made right away with that passage from Matthew 5, and it pertains to what I want to talk with you about tonight. That is, and it's not just about Catholics. I mean, we first of all, our gathering here and Praying for America, our gatherings on Right Side Broadcasting and in our Priests for Life broadcast are of Christians from all across the body of Christ. And we welcome that and we treasure that. And that is a key important part of our movement. And the fact of the matter is that here, as I give you these comments, we're not talking about the differences that we know exist between different denominations when it comes to our understanding of the Eucharist, our understanding of the Lord's Supper. We're not talking about the doctrinal differences here, nor are we talking about the differences that we know exist across the body of Christ in terms of our understanding of the church, church leadership, and the hierarchical structure of various church bodies. There are similarities, there are differences. That's not the point of our conversation either. The point of the conversation I want to have with you tonight is a shared concern about public officials who are pro-abortion and yet at the same time claim to be following Christ and claim, no matter what their denomination is or what they think about the Lord's Supper, claim to be able to participate in worship, to participate in the Lord's Supper, and at the same time, considering themselves faithful disciples of Christ, they're rejecting their unborn brothers and sisters, refusing to recognize them as persons, refusing to protect their right to life, supporting, in other words, abortion. We have to think about this as a problem. We have to confront this as a problem. Part of the wound on America's soul and on the body politic is this problem that we've got these public officials who are throwing away human beings and throwing away a key teaching of the gospel about these human beings. The you know, I head up not just Priests for Life, I head up the National Pro-Life Religious Council. And I hope you are able to get familiar with that group too, nprcouncil.org, National Pro-Life Religious Council. It's an interdenominational group. And we have over the years published books and articles and sermons about the fact that the historic biblical Christian teaching is and has been from the beginning the right to life. That these children are sacred from the beginning of their lives. That means including during their time inside their mother's womb. So we have public officials all across America, all across the body of Christ, and also, of course, of non-Christian religious backgrounds and of no faith at all, who are not only in favor of legal abortion, but who, like Joe Biden has been doing and Nancy Pelosi have been doing, both of them identify themselves as Catholic, they've been advancing abortion. They've been increasing abortion. They've been calling for getting rid of any kind of reasonable limits on abortion. They want more of your money and mine and our taxpayer dollars to be used to fund abortion. They're not just, you know, sometimes they'll say, oh, we're just upholding the law. or just upholding the Constitution as we're sworn by oath to do. No, they're not. This is not about upholding the Constitution. There's nothing about the Constitution or about existing law that requires them, for example, to throw out the Hyde Amendment, which has saved 2.5 million lives over the last 40 years with bipartisan support, and which has been upheld by the courts as constitutional. The fact that a state permits abortion doesn't require it to fund it, and yet they want to get rid of it. It says so in the Democrat platform. Biden did a flip-flop on this, and all of a sudden, when he started running for president, he was opposed to the Hyde Amendment. That's not upholding the law or the Constitution. That's making changes in the direction you want to go ideologically. Pelosi didn't have to lead a House vote as she did at the end of September on the most radical abortion bill we've ever seen that would get rid of all kinds of reasonable limits, even on late-term abortion or parental involvement in a minor's abortion. There's nothing in the law and in the Constitution that requires you to get behind a bill like this and have the House pass that bill as they did. It's not going to pass the Senate, thank God, but she led the vote in the House, and why did she have to do that? So don't listen to these people when they say, oh, well, we're just upholding the law and upholding the Constitution. No. They're imposing their own radical pro-abortion views and advancing them. This is of concern to anyone who's Christian, because it's like, and by the way, it's of concern to anyone who's a decent human being. And let me say a word about that. I'm going to talk about this letter that this document that the Catholic bishops just issued. But it's not just about Catholics contradicting their Catholic faith. It's about Christians contradicting the gospel. But it's about two other things, and we have to look at it in these broad circles of meaning. It's about public officials contradicting the meaning of public service, because public service means you serve the public, you don't kill the public. And those who don't know the difference don't belong in public office. It's about understanding that to be a member of civilized society, you don't kill babies. I mean, what is it about that that's so hard to understand? To be a basic, decent human being, you don't kill babies. And the more dependent they are, those in the womb, of course, being the most dependent of all, the more protection they need. You don't take away protection because a person needs more protection. This is the silly argument that people who are pro-abortion often use. Oh, well, the baby can't survive outside the womb. Well, that's why you're supposed to keep him there. If the baby can't survive outside the womb, why are you taking him out of the womb? These people are sick. There's no rationale whatsoever for legal abortion. So when we have someone like Biden and Pelosi, now they both claim to be devout Catholics. And here's another contradiction. They say every time the abortion issue comes up or they're challenged about it, they start talking about what a devout Catholic they are. They're actually not. But they're the ones that bring it up. Joe Biden, during his campaign, had campaign ads talking about his devout Catholicism. Why did he do that? You see, because here's the contradiction. When they're challenged, when Biden was asked, for example, about this, the bishops are going to be talking about the requirements for receiving communion, maybe they'll prohibit you from doing so. You know what his response was? Oh, well, that should be a private matter. Sorry, Mr. Biden, but first of all, it's not just a private matter. You're a public official. And when you start talking about your Catholicism, you're not making it private, are you? You're making it public. You're the one making it a public issue out of it. And when you do that, don't expect that the bishops don't have a right to respond. Because the question is, who sets the parameters for what it means to belong to a particular denomination or not? Who sets the standard for what it means to be a Catholic or a Methodist or an Anglican or any other denomination? It's not you. It's not you. Okay, what did the bishops say? many people, and again, Christians from all denominations are asking me, you know, aren't the bishops going to discipline these politicians, draw a line in the sand, tell them this is not what it means to be part of our community of faith? Well, they didn't mention him by name. And some of the secular media, I saw articles in the New York Times and the Washington Post and in the Wall Street Journal. They said, oh, well, you know, the bishops have given Biden a pass, or they backed away from, you know, challenging him about receiving communion. And this is the conclusion, you know, of that debate. My friends, no such thing is true. This document, issued this week by this past week by the U.S. bishops, does not give Biden a pass. If anything, if you read it carefully and read it in the context that the document itself lays out, it does just the opposite. It puts a serious burden on Biden and the other politicians who are pro-abortion, not just the Catholic ones. So it's a serious burden on them to stop supporting the killing of babies. And it puts a serious burden on religious leaders to do something about this contradiction. Now, the way the Catholic Church operates, especially my friends, for those of you that are not Roman Catholic, to help you understand this, the church is a very hierarchical church. Of course, we have bishops over each diocese, which is a geographical area, and we have the Pope, you know, over the bishops. But that doesn't mean that they're just, you know, every day, oh, let's see what my latest orders are, you know, from the bishop. Let's see what my latest orders are from the Pope. It doesn't work that way. And they prefer, rather than edicts and commands, they prefer to try to persuade. They prefer to dialogue. They prefer to respect, of course, local authority, even though they might be able to do something. You know, a bishop will prefer that the local pastors handle situations because there is a principle of subsidiarity, which we also appreciate seeing in civil government as well, that gets applied very much. And that's why a lot of times people, you know, they're wondering, well, why can't the Pope just make an order, write an order and say these people can't receive communion? Well, part of the reason is this principle of subsidiarity. But let me talk to you about some of the clear teachings here. And again, we're not talking here about the doctrine about the Lord's Supper or about church governance. I want to show you some of the moral principles and questions of public witness that they're pointing out here that apply to us all. Let me just go here in the document to the section I'm thinking about. First of all, what the bishops say is this: the love of Christ, I'm quoting now directly, can permeate all of our relationships with our families, our friends, and our neighbors. It can also reshape the life of our society as a whole. Our relationship is with Christ is not restricted to the private sphere. It is not for ourselves alone. So again, that answers, doesn't it, very directly, Biden and others who are saying, oh, well, it's a private matter. In other words, they're trying to say, leave me alone. You know, let me promote abortion, but let me deal privately with whether or not I'm a good Christian. The document goes on to say, if we do not love all human beings, our communion with the Lord is impaired or even contradicted. See, in other words, they're saying the relationship with the Lord is not just a matter of what you do or think in private. How are you loving your fellow human beings? This love, the document goes on to say, extends particularly and preferentially to the poor and the most vulnerable. Well, who are the poorest of the poor? Who are the most vulnerable? Children in the womb. They go on to say, we all need to be consistent in bringing the love of Christ not only to our personal lives, but also to every dimension of our public lives. Every dimension of our public lives, Mr. Biden. Every dimension of our public lives, Nancy Pelosi. Every dimension that includes the laws that you pass. every dimension. Lay people, the document goes on to say, who exercise some form of public authority. You see, they're not giving him a pass. Every lay person who exercises some form of public authority has a special responsibility to form their conscience in accord with the church's faith and the moral law. And in case there's any doubt about what that means, they go on to say, and to serve the human family by upholding human life and dignity. Biden, you don't uphold human life by tearing it apart and throwing it into the garbage by abortion. Pelosi, you don't uphold human life and dignity by passing a bill that takes away any restriction on abortion, even of viable babies in the last weeks of pregnancy. That's not upholding human life and dignity. That's trashing it. Friends, the bishops didn't give these people any kind of pass at all. This is strong language. They go on with even stronger language. They talk about persons, and here they're quoting Pope Francis, actually, being thrown away in a throwaway culture, which Pope Francis describes as persons no longer seen as paramount, as a paramount value to be cared for and respected, especially when they are poor and disabled, not yet useful, like the unborn. And so the bishops go on to say, as Christians, we bear responsibility to promote the life and dignity of the human person and to love and protect the most vulnerable in our midst, the unborn. They mention the unborn again. And then they go into various other groups of people, sick and elderly and migrants and so forth. And then they quote the teachings of the Second Vatican Council and say in this document, whatever is opposed to life itself, such as any type of murder, genocide, abortion, euthanasia, or willful self-destruction, whatever violates the integrity of the human person, all these and other things of their like are infamies indeed. They poison human society. They do more harm to those who practice them than to those who suffer from the injury. And the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal want to say that the bishops gave Biden a pass. Does that sound like a pass to you? Abortion is an infamy. Pay attention, Mr. Biden, to the words that these things do more harm to those who practice them than to those who suffer from the injury. Let me just point out one more thing that the document says, because it talks about the duties of church leaders, of course, in the context of this document, the Catholic bishops, but by extension, all church leaders. First of all, again, to the public officials, this document quotes a document that bishops issued back in 2006. So this is not a new teaching. They reiterate, and let me read this quote. If a Catholic in his or her personal or professional life were to knowingly and obstinately reject the defined doctrines of the church, or knowingly and obstinately to repudiate her definitive teaching on moral issues, he or she would seriously diminish his or her communion with the church. Reception of Holy Communion in such a situation would not accord with the nature of the Eucharistic celebration, so that he, now listen to this, they didn't give any pass to anybody, so that he or she should refrain. The bishops are saying to those who reject the moral teachings of the church, you should refrain from receiving communion. I didn't put these words there. I'm not making it up. It's right there in black and white. You can see the document. Go to abortionandcommunion.com, see the link there. They go on to say reception of communion in such a situation is also likely to cause scandal for others, weakening their resolve to be faithful to the demands of the gospel. Now, they're quoting other documents. You already saw they quoted this documents of the Vatican Council. They quote the Catechism. They quote the canon law of the church. They quote another document called the Compendium of the Social Doctrine of the Church. These documents are not issued in a vacuum. They're not meant to stand all by themselves as if they were the only document that it was ever issued. They are showing that this stance of saying, look, you want to be in union with Jesus? You got to be in union with all his teachings. You got to be in union with the poor and the vulnerable. Got to be in union with the unborn. This is reflecting a whole body of teaching by the whole church over the centuries. And that's what this document is doing. They even quote a provision in church law that says, those who are obstinately persisting in manifest grave sin, I'm reading from it now, are not to be admitted to communion. So friends, the document says a lot of other beautiful things about the love of Jesus shown in his sacrifice on the cross. And it reminds me of, you know, a teaching that I've often articulated over the years, that as our Lord says the night before he died, as we know from Scripture, this is my body given up for you. He's showing the meaning of love, right? I lay down my life freely, he says in John's gospel. I lay it down freely and I have the power to take it up again. But those same words, this is my body, are used by the advocates of the culture of death. This is my body. I can do what I want, even if it means killing the baby. This is my body. We're called to live these words as Jesus lived them. This is my body given up for you, that you may live. The meaning of love is I sacrifice myself for the good of the other person. The meaning of abortion is just the opposite. I sacrifice the other person for the good of myself. So friends, let's be strong. Don't let anybody tell you that the church is giving a pass to these pro-abortion politicians. Should they be saying and doing more? Absolutely. I agree with all of you that across the body of Christ, write to us and tell us, look, we're frustrated. There's weakness, there's cowardice in leadership. Of course there is. I agree. But taking at least these words, we can try to start strengthening our religious leaders, again, in every denomination, to say, look, we need you as shepherds. Take a stand. There's the reason, you know, that the shepherd, and Scripture talks about this, has the rod and the staff. The staff has that curved part. Pull the sheep back when they're going in the wrong direction. Keep them from danger. So the religious shepherd, keeping people from sin, warning them when the path that the sheep are going down is the wrong path, you got to warn them. Speak up. Do something about it. So let's pray. As we pray for America, let's pray for the strength of our religious leaders. Lord, we thank you for this day when it is so clear what the right path is. Lord God, you have laid out life as the very meaning of the gospel. You came that we might have life and have it to the full, Lord Jesus. And you gave your life, which is what the Lord's Supper reminds us of. You gave your life that we might have life. So, Lord, we pray again for our public officials in America, for those who depart from the basic moral teaching that we are to protect life and not take it. We ask for conversion. We ask for awakening. We ask for enlightenment. We ask for change. We ask that they might fulfill their responsibility to protect life. And Lord, we pray for our religious leaders tonight. Oh Lord God, open their mouths. Give them courage. Help them to see. And Lord, for the things that have been said already and written in these documents, we give you thanks. Because there's some clear teaching here. We only pray that our leaders will have courage to carry it out. Both our religious leaders, courage to teach and to discipline where necessary, those that are not following the teachings. To warn those who are saying, I'm a follower of Christ, but I'm pro-abortion. To warn them that this is a contradiction and it's an abuse of the faith. But Lord God, to exercise the pastoral ministry of teaching and of governing with courage. Instill courage in our religious leaders, instill courage in our political leaders, and finally, Lord, instill courage in us to always speak and do what is right. With this intention, and lifting up the intentions of all our viewers for themselves and for their families and all their needs, we now pray in the words Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, friends. Spread the word.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.